Good morning.
It's great to have you and join us for worship today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A few announcements before we get started. Our cares and prayers group met last week for the first time on Tuesday from 1:30 to 3. We had a good turnout. You're invited to come this next week as well. All are welcome. We bring a snack. We talk about the people we're praying for in our lives. And if you are somebody who collects greeting cards at all, our group Cares and Prayers is looking for some. So feel free to donate any of them to either myself, Linda Bonnell, Jackie Pasquinelli. They're all involved with the group. And basically what we do, part of it is praying for people in the congregation. The other half is sending out cards and letters to people that we're thinking about, we're praying about, who have birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations like that. Just another reminder to get us out and active in our church. Please don't forget, Tuesday at 7 p.m., there is an invitation for all laity in the Ohio Moravians to have a meeting at Tusky Community Center. This will be the third meeting. It's designed for people who are members of joint boards or elders or trustees who want an opportunity to kind of brainstorm some of the ideas that they have. Because we're finding a lot of churches are struggling with similar problems. So the more that we go at these problems together, the better we're coming up with solutions. So if you have any questions about that, you can ask Jackie Pasquinelli or Jill Westbrook from Sharon, but that will be 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And also part of our wider church, we have our pre-synod meeting, which will be on this coming Saturday from 10 to 2. That is for all the delegates and alternate delegates and district board members as we get ready to participate in a provincial synod, which will happen this June in Bethlehem. Also give thanks. We had a wonderful time of fellowship on Friday for our CEC game night. Lots of pizza and games were shared, and our kids had a wonderful time. Sunday, February 4th, this will be our second mission meeting. For those who are interested in getting out and serving, we have over 30 people interested in doing mission combined among our Ohio Moravians. And this meeting will be at Shenbrunn from 1:30 to 3. And the first meeting was just seeing who was interested. And this meeting is more about pinning down a location and what exactly we want to do. And we actually have so many people who are interested that we're considering sending two mission teams to a place so we don't overwhelm some place with 30 people. Daryl Johnson is in charge of that. I think we're leaning towards doing Texas at this time. A lot of need there with all the hurricanes there, and just a chance to get out. It's a little more cost effective than going to Alaska would be right now. And please don't forget February 14th. I know it's Valentine's Day for a lot of people, but it's also Ash Wednesday, and we will have our 7 p.m. ecumenical Ash Wednesday service. A lot of churches are involved, Episcopalian, the Presbyterian, and actually one of the Methodist church has decided to get involved this year. So it will be great to see so many different brothers and sisters across so many different denominations getting together to celebrate the oneness of God that brings us all together. And then February 19th, our Lenten lunch begins at noon on Monday from noon to 1:15, and those will be Mondays during Lent, so February 19th to March 19th. And that's just an opportunity to talk about all the churches in the valley are going to be collaborating on their worship services and giving a little different spin on, based on the movie Inside Out, a Disney movie. And it'll be a chance for all of our congregations to get together and talk about what's going on in our lives and how this worship is impacting us. Very similar to Brown Bag and Big Ideas. Bring your lunch and come ready for fellowship. That will be February 19th. And then I also want to invite, we can finally have a young adult meeting today at the Parsonage after church since we don't have anything going on besides our birthday and anniversary. We are trying to switch these from going weekly to once a month, so that way we realize that kids have busy schedules, so that way we can kind of focus on getting one date, and that way it doesn't overwhelm the schedules of everybody. But I think it'll be a great opportunity. We'll discuss some ideas for this coming year and look to find some mission opportunities for our group as we look to grow and get involved in our community. At this time, I invite anybody else if they have any other announcements to share. All right, let us stand and greet one another. I realize it is flu season, So if any of you are feeling uncomfortable with that at all, don't be afraid to give somebody an elbow or a little nudge. Or...
Good morning, Jacob. Scuba Steve, good morning. Good morning. Morning, John. Morning. Good to see you, Stacy. How are you feeling? Good. Morning. Morning, Alicia. Good morning again. Great to have you with us. Good morning, Mason. Good morning, Emily. Good morning, Doug. Good morning, Glee. Good morning, Audrey. How are you doing? Good morning, Linda. Good morning. Good morning, Jean Ann. Good morning, Jim.
You may be seated. And let us join together now in the watchword of the week, which is from the 111th Psalm, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Amen.
Please stand for the call to worship. Let us praise the Lord with all our hearts.
Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them.
Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, and he will remember us in times of trouble.
Please remain standing and turn to page 560 for our opening hymn.
Thank you.
join together in the liturgy of installing our joint board. I want to make one note. I did forget our Moravian birthday hymn. We'll sing that right after the benediction. Trust me, you'll get your cake today. I won't let you leave without your sugar. Right. Let us join together as we celebrate installing our new joint board for 2018. Hear the words of Paul. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but the same God who inspires them, all in every one. Though we have different gifts, together we are in ministry, led by Jesus Christ. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work. Elders serve by addressing spiritual needs. Trustees serve through addressing practical needs.
Our Lord Jesus said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all, and the one who wants to be first among you, that one must be servant of all."
The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve.
Let us follow this divine example.
You who have been chosen as leaders of the Schönbrunn Community Moravian Church, please present yourself for installation into the high calling of serving God, church, and God's people. At this time, I invite the newly elected officers, all the officers of the joint board, to come forward as we install you, as we sing, "Ye Who Called, Ye Who Called." After prayerful consideration and under the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have been chosen by the membership of this church to serve as our leaders. Are you willing to accept this position now as a trust committed to you by our Lord and Savior, the head of this church?
Amen.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I do.
Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working respectfully with them, subject to God's Word and Spirit?
I will.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will.
Will you be faithful elders, unselfishly watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service. In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will, in the help of God.
And will you be faithful trustees, unselfishly caring for our church facility, property, and finances? In your ministry, you will try to exemplify the good steward, caring for all the material gifts God has entrusted to this congregation. And to the congregation, these individuals have pledged themselves to exert their very best efforts, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to the care and guidance of the congregation. Do you now promise to support them by prayer, by word, and by works at all times? Do you agree to encourage our elders and trustees to respect their decisions, to study, to pray, to worship, and to witness with them, and to follow as they guide you, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do.
And to our joint board, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are now installed leaders of this congregation. And now may you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, in the work of the Lord. For as you labor for the Lord, your work is not in vain. Let us pray. Almighty God, in every age, you have chosen servants to speak for your word and lead your people. We thank you for these men and women whom you have called to serve you. Give to them gifts to do your works, and fill them with the Holy Spirit, so they may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we join together in this hymn, I'd invite those of you in this congregation who would like to come forward and shake pass the hand of right hand of fellowship to a member of our joint board and wish them well in leading our church in 2018. We had a really great year in 2017, and we're hoping to keep our growth moving forward in 2018. And I think we have a great leadership team in place to do that. So at this time, let us sing together. This time we open our hearts and our minds to the gifts that we can give God, whether they be financial or spiritual gifts. All the gifts that we give the Holy Spirit are powerful and have meaning and will make a difference. Please rise. Let us pray together the prayer of dedication. Dear Savior,
we stand before you recognizing that we are sinners. It is your gift of grace that allows us to restore our hearts every time we turn to you. Help us be people inspired to share our gifts from God with the world around us.
Amen. You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we have a lot to keep on our hearts and minds. First of all, the Reverend John Wallace, the pastor at Dover, he had a heart cath earlier this week, very by surprise. But the blessing is that they found what was going on, and he was out of the hospital by Wednesday. So we continue to pray for him and his recovery. He picked good timing to get a week off. It's his church council this Sunday, so I mean. John almost planned it. we continue to uplift Ted Canfield in prayer. He continues to deal with many health afflictions, and we continue to pray for strength and healing for him. We remember Paige Martin, who is suffering from the flu today. Her and many people, the flu has just been outrageous this year. Emily and I just saw that in the Lehigh Valley in Bethlehem. They're actually putting out tents outside of hospitals because their beds are full. And it's the only way they know how to respond to the flu season right now. So we just pray that we can all get through this season intact and strength for those who have seen the relentless flu come their way. But our hearts are definitely with Paige. We pray for Roger Imhoff, who's recovering from surgery and awaiting test results. We pray for Avery Baker, going to Akron Children's for an EKG or EEG check for seizures. And we keep her in our prayers. For Beulah Hensel, who has cancer and now pneumonia. For Linda Bennington's cousin, Larry, who is recovering from surgery. For the family of Barbara Durand, who passed away. Our prayers of resurrection hope are with her family. And we also pray for the people of Afghanistan today. This week they were hit by a vicious suicide bomber in an ambulance, actually. And 90 people passed away, and over 100 people were injured. And we continue to keep such a volatile part of the world in our prayers, but we also remember that is the place where Christ was born, an important place to keep our prayers. Let us open our hearts and minds and invite God into this prayer time. God, we come before you with so much joy and mercy and grace, but we realize that we can be weary and we can become burdened with all the pain and grief and suffering of this world. God, we ask that you be with Paige as she recovers from the flu and be with her family as they help her recover. We ask that you be with Pastor John as he give him the strength to recover and return with the vigor that he has. We ask you to be with Ted Canfield and Roger, and Avery, and Beulah, and Larry, and Barbara, and help them to see that in their time of need, God will be there. God will hold their hand and lead them through even the greatest circumstances. Gracious God, we turn our hearts to you, and we confess that we are sinners. We confess by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved our neighbors with our whole heart. We have not loved you with all our hearts, but still you surround us with love and grace, and we just have to live in that spirit of gratitude. And help us to remember that in the best of us there is some evil,
and that in the worst of us there is some good, and that you will help us no matter where we are in this world, because your presence extends to all corners, to our pain, to our suffering, to our joy, and to your grace. May they continue to connect us all in all we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7, and can be found on page 810 of your Pew Bible. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things come and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled.
Thank you, Becky. Our gospel message today comes from the first chapter of Mark, the 21st through the 28th verse, the man with an unclean spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward with the children's lesson. With all their toys and objects this month, let's see if they can get another victory. Come on up. Hi, Aubrey. Thank you very much. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Let me hear it. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
There's a little more energy. So I want you to put all your objects in the middle. No more hiding on me. I got to see everything that's in front of me. Aubrey, can I hold your baby real quick? I'm just going to borrow her real quickly. So I want to talk about something today, something that we're born with, since we're real little babies. None of us can escape it. We all have it. It's a letter that starts with S, and it's three letters long. Does anybody know what it is?
Sin.
We're all born with sin, and we're going to talk about what that is and what it means to that. Can anybody tell me what sin is? Here, Aubrey, let me give your baby back. Nick? What was that? Doing bad things when we make mistakes, when we do something selfish. Like, for example, let's take this golf ball here. When we're selfish, what's something we do?
instead of, hey, you know, maybe doing my chores, what do? I go golfing with my buddies. Is that a smart thing to do? Is that a mistake? Is that a sin? Yeah, that's a sin when we don't do what we're supposed to do, what we're called to do. We could even go scuba diving in the water. Do you think it's smart to go scuba diving if we don't know how to swim? No, because we... What was that? You need to know how to swim. And the important thing about scuba is you always have to have an instructor. And we as Christians, you know what we always have for an instructor who helps us? Jesus. Jesus is our instructor. He's the one that tells us where we need to be in life. And it's very important because you know what life can do to us? It can spin us all over the place. Rylan, spin this for me. There we go. It can spin us all over the place. And it can make us think crazy things. It can make us think up is down and down is up. And we can get very terrified by life. But you know who helps us when life is spinning? Jesus. Because he reminds us that he died on the cross for us and that we're not marked by sin. And he saves us with salvation. Kind of like Batman, how he saves his people. Jesus does it in our hearts, though. He doesn't do it by physically coming down into the world. He does it by making our hearts open to God. And that we can have Jesus with us whether we're eating breakfast in the morning, whether we're having lunch, or whether we're having dinner. Jesus is with us in all times. And especially at night when those big, scary monsters come out of our closets. You know who's going to help us with that? Jesus. Can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
There you go. The more syllables you add, the more spiritual it is. So that's a little tip for you. That's for my southern brothers and sisters in North Carolina. But this reminds us that no matter how many sins, how many mistakes, how many selfish choices we make in our life, that Jesus is always going to be the one that blots out all the bad stuff in our life, the darkness. And no matter what happens, we can turn to Jesus no matter how bad of a mistake we think we made. Because he will always listen to us, and he will always forgive us, and he will always help us. So I want you guys to remember that Jesus is always by your side. That's a good thing. That's what we're going to talk about in our sermon today. So let's get up, let's say our prayer, and then we can celebrate our food. Somebody brought Lucky Charms. So let's get in our prayer circle. Everybody grab a hand to somebody. Okay, that's a good idea. Aubrey, you want to hold Nick's hand? There you go. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these children. They are a blessing to our congregation. They live out the forgiveness and life and grace that we all have. And help us to forgive each other as children forgive one another. And live in the light of God's love. And help them through their school week as they deal with homework and new activities. And help them to live with such joy and light. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody grab a cereal bag and head back to your pew. Oh, you want to? There you go. Let's put them in. At this time, I invite you to remain seated as we join together in song and we'll sing God of Grace and God of Glory.
Let us pray. God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our souls today, that you allow your word to reach us and change how we live in this world and interact with this world. And may all the things that we do be done in the name of God. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus, healing the man with the unclean spirit, marks the beginning of his ministry in the Gospel of Mark. Mark, in his gospel, wastes no time getting to his point. There is no birth narrative for Mark. Mark's gospel starts with Jesus as a fully grown man, ready to embrace ministry. Mark doesn't like to waste a lot of time getting to that point. Because in Mark, Jesus is locked into a cosmic struggle between the battle of good and the battle of evil. And this struggle goes from the beginning of Christ's ministry to his very end. And when I read this text, I tend to focus on that man with the unclean spirit. This is like many characters in the Bible. The text does not even bother to give this person a name. And that bothers me. Because imagine being described in the history books by your worst character trait. Well, how would that make you feel? If I was no longer Ben the pastor, but the Bible referred to me as Ben the deaf one. Imagine your worst trait. If you were somebody who had dyslexia, and they referred to you as the dyslexic instead of your name, how would that make you feel? Because the term unclean spirit that we hear today is ambiguous, and it could mean a lot of things. There's not a lot of medical science going on in this world. It could be anything. It could be epilepsy. This man could be suffering from seizures. In the biblical world, they had no idea what that was. They would see people foam at the mouth when somebody has a seizure, and they would assume that that person was possessed, but their spirit was unclean. It could be something psychological. The person could be suffering from depression. They could be bipolar, schizophrenic. Basically, anything covered in the DSM, this person could be, because they really don't know what's going on. And everything, every disease, every challenge that person had in the ancient world was considered spiritual. It was spiritual warfare, but there was something wrong with you. I was actually, I don't know if I should share this one, but I was reading the biography of Martin Luther before we went to bed, and he was talking about having a little issues with his bowel movements. And he talked about what that came from was his constipation of the spirit, that he felt stuck, that he was not in a right relationship with God. And so for them, not having a right relationship with God was very physical. It was a reason for why you were feeling illness or sickness. So an unclean spirit could mean anything. It could be any of the afflictions that one of us face. That could be considered unclean. But there are moments when all of us, if you look at who we are as we define ourselves by our actions, by our character, we've all had moments when we felt like we've had an unclean spirit. One of my favorite writers, Max Lucado, talks about sin, and he talks about the difference of sin, you know, where I've done bad versus the sin that is so bad, that hurts us so deeply, that says that I am bad. And how that can change us and scar us, the sin of doing bad versus feeling bad. We've all had that moment where we've done something we thought was beyond our capability. I remember being 6 years old and going to the dentist office with my mom and dad, and it was my job to just sit outside in the waiting room and play with the toys. And there's that little race car that I played with that was so sweet. It had a turbo engine. It was just the coolest little race car you could have. And I remember when it was time to go, I snuck that little race car in my back pocket. And before you know it, we got home. And wouldn't you know it, my mom noticed that an hour later that I just happened to have a new race car that I was playing with. And my mother was not happy with me. And I remember that was the first time my mom wasn't just angry with me, but she was disappointed in me because she knew that I knew better. And I remember that feeling. It was that feeling of an unclean spirit, of just feeling like I was bad in that moment, and I needed help with that. And we've all had that moment. Sometimes our anger guides us in those moments when we come home tired or and exhausted and have an exchange with a loved one or a child that reaches us to DEFCON 5 where we were already upset and something pushes us to a level that we never knew we had. When you can hear your father's voice when you start arguing, that's when you know. You take a step back and you really realize that you made a mistake, that you've done wrong. And I think one of the benefits we have, one of the things we really take for granted, I really think the Holy Spirit works through us when we're having those difficult moments where it just feels like we're out of control. Because I know many of us, it's very natural that when we get angry, when we get upset, that we just kind of puff up and we don't know what to say. And we've been there and we can't find words to articulate. And I almost think that's the Holy Spirit blocking us from saying what is actually on our hearts and minds. And that is a protection device for us. Because we know if we say the thing that we're exactly thinking in that moment, that we could really wound somebody. We could cripple them. But I think it's God who kind of works through us. Because I think some of the worst gifts we have is, I actually heard it in a Tom Hanks movie, of all places, Who's Got Mail? And it's weird to think about this movie as a classic movie. But he was talking to one of the characters. His name is Joe Fox. Tom Hanks plays this character who's a big, very cool CEO, very, very hip. And he talks about how saying the thing you meant to say at the moment you mean to say it, saying the thing you meant to say at the moment you mean to say it can be one of the worst gifts to have as a person. Because if you're able to overcome that huffiness, and really wound somebody in that moment, it's a terrible feeling. Because you know that once you decompress yourself, when you walk away from that situation, immediately you're going to regret it. So sometimes the gift that we have from God is that cloud that we get when we're upset and we're angry, because it keeps us from being somebody who wounds. And we are called to be people of forgiveness. And I say that because I think all of us know that God's forgiveness for each one of us, when we make a mistake, when we do wrong, it is immediate. It's instantaneous. The second you turn it over to God in prayer, God immediately forgives you. But self-forgiveness, the forgiveness that we offer ourselves, our own conscience, that is a much longer and difficult path. And we need God's help, God's prayer through that. Because there's mistakes that we've all made that have taken years for us to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we never truly forgive ourselves. But the fact that God is willing to forgive us should remind us that God wants us to lighten that burden, to let it go, to not carry that weight with us. So the second part of this text talks about Christ's authority and where authority can be found. And the people in the Gospel of Mark are so surprised that Jesus is capable of this authority of healing somebody immediately and just having that presence. And it's amazing where we think authority comes from in our own lives. And many of you know people who are in a position of authority in their life. And I bet that position didn't come from them having a label, but how they conducted themselves, their character, their actions. Many of us go to our grandparents or our parents when we have a concern or issue. And it's not just because they have that label, but it's because they're willing to listen to us, to embrace us, to see us where we truly are. And they can separate the judgment for us and just walk in the light with us and hold our hand through some difficult times. And that's what Christ is willing to do for each one of us. Because his authority to forgive each and every single one of our mistakes can be found at the cross. Because that is where Jesus laid down his life for each one of us. And what Jesus did for our salvation was personal and it was universal. He died for each one of us and he died for all of us in that very moment. And that's where his authority comes from. That's the special thing about Jesus, because his authority doesn't come from power, from might, or strength, but it comes from his weakness, from his ability to suffer, his willingness to suffer for each one of us. And it's at the foot of the cross that we are reminded that we are worthy of God's love, that we are worthy of being part of God's family. In our confirmation class this week, we read the account of the crucifixion from the Gospel of John. And that is where Jesus, on the cross, tells the disciples, Mary, this is your family. These are your sons. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, this is your mother. And that is their welcoming into God's family. They are invited by Jesus at the cross to walk in that light of salvation. And it is a wonderful gift indeed. Because Jesus laid down his life for all of us. So that voice that is inside of us that tells us that we are bad, unworthy, or undeserving of love would be silenced. That voice would no longer be active in our life. That's what Jesus took away for us. Because each one of us, we have God-given value, and that no one can rob us of that, except our very own egos, except our very own selfishness. And because of Christ's redeeming love for us, we as a people of God are liberated to share God's love with the world. With the world. We get the opportunity to share that love with the world. And the redemption that each one of us receive is a precious gift. And it was paid for by a precious Savior. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, now that we have been given the gift of God's redeeming love, brothers and sisters, what are we going to do with it? Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, as we think about the sins, the mistakes, and the bad choices we make in our own lives, we thank you for not allowing those things to define us, that you forgive us. But gracious God, we realize your forgiveness is instantaneous, but sometimes the forgiveness we need for ourselves is a much longer journey. And we thank you for walking it with us and reminding us that we can turn to you to unloading the heaviest of burdens, that you are present in our life and our world, and help us to turn to you and remind us that just because we make a mistake, just because we screw up, does not mean we are bad, and that you went to the cross to remind each one of us that we are worthy of God's love in all time and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we sing together Amazing Grace.
Sound that's
Before I close this out with a benediction, I'll invite you to take out your green sheet as we celebrate our birthdays and anniversary this week. For those of you that are visitors, the last Sunday of the month, we always celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries. So we have a cake down in Fellowship Hall. All are welcome to partake and enjoy as we celebrate all the birthday and anniversary blessings that God has given us. But in January, we celebrate Kaylee Hansen, Linda Karcher, Justin Miller, Ben Lipper, and Cheryl Bahari. We give thanks that God has blessed them all with another year. Let us sing together the Moravian birthday hymn. Unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.